This is a Gathering Heritage Project podcast recorded in Blackrock, County Louth, in Ireland.
The most important things that ever came out, I think, in Blackrock, is not there at the moment, of course, was the Blackrock swimming pool. And Paddy Malone is going to talk to me a little bit about the history of it. Tell me a little bit about how it started and who funded it and how much did it cost.
The idea came out of the Blackrock Development Association, which was an organisation that was in existence from the early 1950s. My father was secretary and treasurer, as an accountant normally ends up getting that job, and I read through the minute book of parts of it. They came up with the idea of building the first Olympic-sized pool in the country anywhere, which seems crazy for a village that had about 500 people. But at the time, you've got to remember, Blackrock was awash with bed and breakfasts over the summer months.
So what year are we talking about here?
We're talking about from my parents got married in 1955, and it was just before that. Dad was from the Dublin Road, beside the hospital. My mother was from where Xerox is now, or Park Street, take your pick. So they knew the area. And Dad was involved in the football club from way back when. And this idea of, you know, having a major tourism attraction for the region, because every second house in Blackrock at that time was a bed and breakfast. My mother even tells me that the year after they got married in 1955, I was born in 56, that they actually did take people in, which came as a shock to me years later, but I guess I didn't realize. But she said every house did it. The people came from Cavan and Monaghan and Down and Armagh, some from Meath. So it was, you know, it was a destination where everybody went to.
So therefore the idea, it's give them something to do.
Give them something to do. Now, at the time, you would have had the skating hall. You had two pitch and putt courses, as well as the golf club itself. You had a couple of football pitches. So it was a fair bit of activity. But the one problem was, when you came to Blackrock to go to the seaside, you couldn't go for a swim, because the tide was never in. It is, but, you know, everybody would say the tide was never in. Mm. And even if it was in, the depth at which you got to any water, I mean, if you walked out for a mile, you're still not going to get any depth unless you walk out beyond the river, which is dangerous at all times. There have been tragedies over the years on that one, including a fisherman. So the idea came through that maybe we should build, or maybe they should build a swimming pool. And I don't know why they decided to build the biggest one in the country in one of the smallest villages at the time, but they did. And it's a testament to the force, you know, the sheer ambition of doing it. Now, my father was involved in probably two ambitious projects in down through the years. The second was the first football club to have floodlights outside of Dublin was in Dundalk, and that was down to my father as well. But to go back to the pool, which is what we're talking about, the beginning of the collection for the money started in the early 1950s, and the pool was built and opened in 1962 by Neil Blaney, who was Minister for Local Government at the time.
Was it a huge talking point around the area, do you think, at that time, Paddy?
Yes, it was. I actually have seen the RTE news footage, so it was big enough at that stage to get RTE to come down and film it. So it was recognised as something of some significance. I've seen the footage. Silent, but it's still there. And there were five people from my father's recollection of who was involved in it that he gave credit to it. I'll put him last, but Father McNulty, and he would always start off with the priest. And you've got to remember that the actual location of the of it was beside the priest's beach, and right next door to the priest's house.
Before we go any further, Paddy, where was it actually situated now when anyone's listening to this?
Where the Marine Court apartment block is now. And if you walk, and if you go down to the Bottle Bank and you walk through that area, the first building you'll see is the old pump house, or the boiler house as we refer to it, and that's where the water was taken in. If you walk through that and turn to the right, and you can, it's open to the general public, and turn to the right, you will see, if you look down, the bolts that held the boards together, the diving board together. Walk to the end of that and look over the wall, you'll see the sluice gates that actually took the water in. And if you look very carefully on that back wall, you'll see 15, which anybody of a certain age will know, that's the 15 foot. And then if you walk up, you'll see 6 foot. But halfway up, and that's 25 metres, and that was the halfway point in the pool. And then up at the far end, you'd see 3'6", which actually, I would always argue with my father, that was not 3'6", it was a wee bit deeper. And it caused, years later, when I became a lifeguard, it caused me a lot of problems. People thinking that they were in their depth, and they weren't.
Yeah, now it was, and when it opened, did it take a while for people to get used to it in the area, and from Dundalk, of course, which it was very popular with?
No, I think it caught, I mean, my recollection, I was 6 when it opened, and there's a photograph of me actually at the opening with my father. And Paddy Dunnigan, who was a TD at the time, and John McGahan, who was the architect. His family are still in the architect business today. Later on, he actually built the... he was the architect for Oriel Park's main stand, as it is now. It was built in 1966. So you can see people working together all the time for the development of the town. The five he identified were Father McNulty, Mr. McGinty. I never knew him as anything else other than Mr. McGinty, who owned the big house on your way into Black Rock or out of Black Rock, depending on the way you're travelling. Paddy McGuinness, who was involved in the AOH and in Fine Gael, and would have been a local councillor at various stages, and he was the driving force behind it. And the fact that it's beside, as I said, Father McNulty on one side, the AOH hall on the other side, the skating hall, and stuck in the middle was the swimming pool. You know, yeah. There's a certain, when you look at it, there was one of the Murphy farmers as well, over from Haggerstown, and my father.
And Paddy, I'm just thinking, Paddy, there of these people who had no idea about swimming pools or no experience of swimming pools, no more than your father. Well, your father would have a bit about floodlights, but it was a completely, how did he come up with the idea of what they did?
As I said, it was recognition that they needed it for a tourism project, to bring people in. And I know from reading the minutes books, they did trigger a lot of interest. A lot of funfairs were contacting them and saying, can we use the car park beside you? So it had the advantage of actually making the place very attractive and unique, unlike other seaside resorts. It did attract people in. When you put it together with everything else that was there, the skating hall, the pavilion, the two pitch and putt courses, one was up the Sandy Lane and the other was beside the Violet bus stop, both of them now gone, and the pool itself, so there was a lot going on. So the pool was just the crowning glory of it. And what you need to remember about the pool is that it was the only 50 metre pool in the country. It was full Olympic size. It was 8 lanes wide and 50 metres long. And then there was a baby pool at the end of it. So it was a magnificent achievement to have built that pool. And years later, when I came along and we played water polo, and because it was only open for the summer months, none of us in the town were strong enough to play. You can learn how to play water polo if you know how to play football or you know how to play GA. The principles are the same. But you can play water polo or you can play a bit of football, but you don't necessarily have to be a sprinter, so athletics may not be your sport. So when most people think of swimming, they think of the glamour ends of it and racing, which people can understand. There was no way any of us could ever come out as a swimmer with 3 months of training out of a 12-month cycle. So that was out of the question. But we learned how to play water polo.
Yeah.
And the advantage that Dundalk had, or Black Rock had, was we were the only pool that could have a full pitch in out of your depth. Now, that you see, if you want to cheat in water polo, you put your foot on the ground, and that way you have control over the ball. Whereas in a full size, in where we were in Black Rock, the pitch was in was all at least in 7 feet of water plus.
So you had to swim.
You had to swim. There was no way of doing it any other way. And because it was because you needed to be able to think rather than just simply swim fast, we could actually learn, we could actually compete with the Dublin crowd. Black Rock was used for most of the major matches in the 70s. There was a time when Donegal Square, which was, and Belfast Celtic, which were the two big water polo clubs coming from the north, sometimes Half Moon and Sandy Cove, which were the big clubs in Dublin, didn't want to travel into the north. And also, the north Black Rock facilities were better than anything else anyway. So a lot of big matches took place in Black Rock.
Now, that's the grand side of it, shall we say. But it had another side of it, of course, too, particularly as the Dundalk people. My memory of it is going out, and I don't know what I paid into it, but there was this tiering system, which hold up an 800 people.
Yeah, yeah. The only problem with it was it faced east, which meant that once afternoon came, nobody was in the sun. So, you know, everyone used to complain about the fact that it should be turned the other way around. Now, to have done that would have been impossible if you look at it scientifically. Yeah.
But did Dundalk people use it a lot?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was used incredibly much by an awful lot of people. Mm. And the thing about it was, it opened my recollection of people. Now, I was from the Rocks, so I could walk to the place. And we swam three times a day, morning, evening and night. We were
and
in that
Japan.
Yeah, we paid in. We bought season tickets and we paid in. Yeah, but we were there three times. We were there three times a day. From when I was about 9 or 10, I was allowed to go to the pool by myself, and I was quite comfortable in the water. And we learned to respect it. I mean, you never saw, even when it was a dirty day or raining, you never saw one person in the pool by themselves. They knew not to do it, and we learned how to be careful. Mm. But my recollection would be from talking to friends who would say be from Dundalk would be the 2 shillings took care of the whole problem. It was sixpence, and for those of you, 2 shillings is 10 pence. Sixpence, which is 2.5 pence, and there was a coin for that, would get you on the bus to Halfpenny, from the bus out from Halfpenny's out from Kelly's Monument out to the Rock. Sixpence would get you in to the pool for the swim. Sixpence in McCann's for the baggage ships, and sixpence on the way back. So two bob, 10 pence, would look after the whole day. Now, the thing was that a lot of people wanted an ice cream. So if you wanted a 99, that was maybe sixpence, threepence or sixpence, so that you could get a small one or a large one. If you did that, you were walking home. Unless you had a half a crown or 2 and 6 to those of you listening.
And Paddy, for somebody like me who couldn't smoke, did I pay into it? Would I have to pay into it? Or could you just go in and watch for nothing?
No, years later when I was actually working in the ticket office, I did 2 jobs in that pool at various stages. 1 year I did the ticket office with Dermot Ahern, and then in the next couple of years I actually did lifeguard. And the ticket office, the rule was supposed to be that because there was no segregation between spectator and swimmer, once you walked through the stile, you could go wherever you wanted in the pool, other than in the boiler house, you were charged in. In reality, we used a bit of common sense on that one, you know, when some people hopped the stile or, you know, whatever else. I think
I hopped the stile. I was afraid I had to say that, in case the guards would be called.
No, well, I think you're not the only one. I think the guards could go around and arrest everybody over a certain age in this town now if they want to do that one, you know.
I know when we were talking about the baths, Callan's baths, and we were saying, like, there's very few houses had bathrooms at that time. And would it be right in saying that an awful lot of people went out to have a bit of a wash?
It did happen, yeah. There was only one shower for the men's and the ladies, and that was at the right bottom of the pool.
But not together.
No. There was a man's dressing room. There was a man's dressing room on the right-hand side as you walked in, right. And that was where the deep end was, the 15-foot. And at the far end of the pool, that would be the north end as you're looking now. The other dressing room was there, and that was for the females. You got dressed, you walked down the steps, you left your clothes into the basket room. There were metal baskets to hold your clothes. There was somebody there to take them. Theoretically, they gave you a number and you were to remember it. There was a coin at one stage that was printed that you hung on your neck, but they were long gone. I can only vaguely remember that they were there. Yeah. And then you stepped onto a foot bath so that you could be disinfectant. And there was a shower there, and that was the only shower in the place, and it was cold. I mean, everything in the place was cold, but that was the coldest of all. Now, the pool itself, when people would say it was a cold pool, it wasn't. It was warmer than the sea because the water was captured and held there for maybe up to a week before it was actually dissipated. The other thing about the pool that people have got to remember is we swam in Black Rock in County Dublin, we swam in Clontarf, and we swam in other pools along the coast. The only pool that we swam in, that the water was filtered and the water was sucked in or pumped in, was Black Rock. All the other pools along the coast had, it to a certain extent, a tidal situation. The tide came in, the sluice gates were opened, the water was captured, the sluice gates were closed, and when the tide went out, the water stayed. Black Rock was completely different. All of the pool in Black Rock was above sea level. So none of the water could have got into the pool unless it had gone through the filtration system or the boiler house. There were two enormous tanks that were approximately, thinking about it now, they would have been about 20 feet long and they were 6 feet high, and there was two of them, circular in shape. And the water was sucked in through the pump from the sluice gates that I've explained where they are, into the filtration system, which effectively consisted of a series of sand and gravel and stones that cut the whole thing out. It was then chlorinated right at the very end and then pumped into the pool through the fountain at the far end of the pool. And the cycle was that once the water was pumped in there, it then tended to drift its way back down to the bottom of the 15 foot, where the cycle was repeated. But if the,
so it was very healthy.
Oh, extremely. Yeah. People have this idea that it was the same as the other pools elsewhere. In the it wasn't. It was chlorinated. Now, Willie Murphy, who ran that pumping station around the place, I used to have constant rows with Willie when I was later on, because my eyes would be streaming from the chlorine. And he was saying to me, "Oh no, I've tested it and it's point whatever it's supposed to be." I always had the suspicion that Willie just made sure that there was enough chlorine in the pool that it wasn't going to cause a problem from a hygiene point of view. No, it was.
Right, Paddy, moving on now, just to it closed actually in the 1980s.
Yeah, I had moved to Dublin. I had got married and I'd moved away. And I think it's safe to say that I didn't sleep for a week after I heard it. And I've heard that expression, but my wife will confirm, I didn't sleep for a week. I walked the street. I walked the streets in Dublin. I walked it at bad temper. I think if I'd been down in the dock, it would have been over my dead body, literally. I know that both John McGuinness and Dermot Ahern, who were the two local councillors at the time, objected strenuously to it. But it was closed.
And was the reason finance?
Finance was what it boils down to, yeah. And I think what was happening was there was a change. I mean, the pools that I mentioned in Dublin closed around the same time. The reality was that people were able to travel to Spain and Portugal and have cheap holidays. They go back to what my father built it for. You know, the people from Armagh and from Cavan and Monaghan coming for their weekly holidays, they might be now coming on the 15th of August in the 1980s, but they're only coming for the day. They weren't coming for the 2 weeks, or they weren't coming for the week. And so those things dictated that it wasn't going to work, you know.
And Paddy, it closed up then completely, and was it boarded up for a good few years until when 1995 it was demolished?
It was built over, would be the best way to put it. Yeah, it was boarded up, and by the time the mid-1990s came along, and when it was bought by the builders to develop it, it had become an eyesore. It had become a place for unsociable activities, is the best way to describe it. So better what it was done to it than to allow it to continue to be in the mess that it was. But as I said, you can still walk today, you can still walk the length of the pool, you can walk through it, there's no problem, it's public access. The green space that you see is approximately where the pool, it gives you a good idea of the size of it. The green space isn't quite wide enough to be matched the whole eight lanes, but it does match the length of it. So you do
and
get a fair idea of size.
That's behind the vegetable shop there, is it?
Yes. Behind. So what you would do is go behind the vegetable shop, walk towards the bottle bank, keep walking. The first building you see on your right, that was the pump house, or the boiler house as we called it. That's where those two huge vats were stored. Then walk through there and you come to the deep end of the pool, the 15 foot, and you'll see where the one diving board, which was, if there was one part of the pool that wasn't done right, it was that diving board. It was a plank. It had no flexibility in it whatsoever. But when I look at the pool and how it was used, what strikes me is, and what my wife, who's from Dublin, would say, was it really as idyllic as absolutely everybody says it was? And the answer is yes. We were 17, 18 years of age, able to run the pool ourselves. Willie kept an eye on us and made sure we behaved ourselves. But we were all teenagers, and we had this magnificent facility that we didn't abuse, that taught so many people life-saving, taught so many people how to swim. It's a tragedy that it's gone, but it filled so many childhoods of my generation and a wee bit younger and a wee bit older than me, that we all have nothing but fond memories of the place.
You've spoken very, I know you're a very passionate man about everything you do, be it politics or Dundalk Football Club or your accountancy, but I've interviewed you an awful lot of times, but you got quite emotional there when you were talking about in Dublin and you heard it was closing, and that must have been a very difficult time then for you, Paddy.
It was. It was this sense of frustration. I had moved to Dublin with the idea of coming back to Dundalk fairly quickly, maybe 2 or 3 years later. For various reasons, it took me nearly 16 years to get back. In that time, it was... I knew that Blackrock had lost something that was never going to be restored.
Could you have helped maybe to save it?
I know that John McGuinness and Dermot O'Hearn moved heaven and earth as far as they could to save it, but it didn't happen. Maybe one more that felt as passionately as those two did feel about it might have stopped it. As an accountant, I might have been able to come up with maybe a different solution or a different suggestion. But the pool was so well, and I will give credit to the council. Every year they repainted the surface before the water was pumped back into it, so it was spotlessly clean. And people will say to me, "Oh, well, the 15-foot was dirty." It wasn't. That was sand that was blown in off the walls and was brushed down deliberately into that area. Now, I spent enough time down at the bottom of that 15 foot. The only thing that was down there was sand. On a Sunday, you could find the 3 foot barrels of for the waste. Somebody threw one of them in. And lifting that from the bottom of 15 foot, actually, it's very simple because it's light when it's at the bottom of the pool. Yes. But the minute it breaks the water surface, it becomes a 3 foot barrel of water and you can't hold it. So the trick was to get it up to the surface but not break the surface. Yeah. And then you had to swim the 50 metres. Don't forget it was a 50 metre pool. You had to swim the entire length of the pool with it. And then break the surface slowly by emptying it out cup by cup or by with some sort of a saucepan or something. Actually, we normally use the kettle to empty it out. So, but those were just happy days. They were good memories.
Paddy, when you see the ward, and I'm reading here just from a little note about it, that it was demolished in 1995, and it just, that ward demolished from that time to we are talking here now. There's so many places in Dundalk have been demolished. I always think demolished is a terrible word.
Yeah, well, at least parts of it were used for a good purpose. I mean, it's giving housing, so therefore it's not all bad. But yeah, Dundalk has changed. But change will always happen, and you've got to just embrace it and accept it. The pool that was built in just at the beginning of the millennium, it's an 8-lane pool, which is actually the only two in Leinster. The other is the aquatic centre in Dublin, so it's significant. That pool in Dublin is a 50-metre pool, so it's not this one, but it's the only 8-lane pool. It's 25 metres, so it's only half the size of the one in, the one that we were talking about in Blackrock. The only tragedy of that pool is that somebody didn't measure it properly. It's 3 centimetres too shallow to hold international competition. Otherwise, it would have used. Yeah. In fact, I got the National Swimming Championships to agree to move to it when the remember the aquatic centre, the second year it was built, was hit by a hurricane and lost its roof, part of its roof, and we agreed to move the Irish Championships down to Blackrock or down to Dundalk. Mm-hmm. And when they measured it, they came back and said, "We can't use it."
I think that of all the chat that we've done now for this past 20 minutes, Paddy, the one I love best is the two bob.
Yeah. Well, that's the way it goes. I mean, there was loads of, there were loads of people, friendships made. I mean, the Martins and the McAdamses, who were cousins of each other, the Malones, the Murphys. There was loads of families that got totally involved in it. But what struck me about it over that, once I came back, people would stop me in the street and say, "I remember you was the lifeguard and you didn't let me do this and you didn't let me do that." And I'm saying, "Was I really that much of a pain in that?" And they said, "Yeah, you were that much of a pain." But all happy memories. Yeah. And people that I don't know would say to me, "I remember you in the pool." And then I'd have to apologise because I obviously had shouted at them for some reason to stop messing around. There were 5 or 6 people that I had to take out of the pool. you know, that were, they did get into difficulties because of the depth and the size of it. They didn't realize just when it said 6 feet, they were not mess. It was not an estimate. It was 6 feet. Yeah. So there was, but as I said, the thing that struck me that came out of it was a lot of people got good enjoyment, but a lot of people learned the respect of water, and a lot of people learned life saving and skills that to this day are there. And I know there was a couple of occasions when I taught life saving then, and I know one or two people have come back to me and said that in their real life they had to use mouth to mouth resuscitation, or they had to use cardiac, which they learned because of the pool. And I would plead to people, just to finish it, go and learn those skills today. Even if you're never near anywhere near a pool, you never know when you're going to need them.
Paddy, thank you very much indeed for talking to me.
My pleasure.
Listen to lots more Undiscovered Heritage at gatheringheritage.com.